Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you gave us this opportunity to participate in this tithing and offering exercise, Lord. Father, we recognize that all that we have belongs to you. All that we have is gift from you. Everything that we own is actually owned by you. We are trustee of all the things that you place in our care. And Lord, we want to thank you that you give us much so that we can give, we can tithe, and we can offer our offerings to you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to do so. It is our privilege because you have called us into your family. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Morning, everyone. I'm actually doing something very different today, and I hope it works. And it requires all of our participation. I'll get there, but the first thing is I want to remind us that that God has given us a vision for this church, and that vision is city on the hill that cannot be hidden, and that vision was given by God in, I was not here at that time. I think this it was given to the leaders then, at that time, where the church is going through a difficult time, very unsure of our footing, and Lord spoke clearly that we are not a little hut in the melon field, but we are a city on the hill. We're going to be this great city. And this city on the hill is actually taken from Matthew 5:14. And if you remember, we went through a preaching series on the Sermon on the Mount. This passage of salt and light actually came immediately after Jesus talked about, the Beatitudes. Blessed are this, blessed are that. He turned upside down or right side up the worldview of his people, how we are different. And after he said all this word of blessing, he focused on this. It says, you are the city on the hill. Do not lose your saltiness and do not hide your light. Let your light shine so that men see this light and will give glory to me, God. So this city on the hill is not describing a city, but it's describing a people. It's the people, not the city. So we are the city on the hill, each and every one of us. And that is the vision that God has given to this church. So we individually are city on the hill. Collectively, at this local body of Christ, we are the city on the hill. And we are to shine His light and to retain the saltiness. So, if we believe that, if we accept this fact that city on the hill describes individual, so what kind of people are we? What differentiates us from someone else? What is the type of people that is a city on the hill? How do we retain our saltiness? And where do we get our light from so that we can shine? Where is our source of our light? So, I believe that the kind of people that is a city on a hill are those that are connected to Christ. Those that are constantly abiding in Him. That are constantly walking closely with Him. That differentiates us versus others. So, in fact, the Lord has given the leadership this year, the team for this year. And we went through, we actually were struggling with how to coin the right phrase. we talk about encounter with God and all this. But we landed on this phrase called experiencing God. So that will be the theme for us this year, experiencing God. And I want to stress one thing. It's experiencing, not experience, not encounter. It's experiencing. It's a continuous experiencing of the presence of God in our lives. That differentiates us from the others. That makes us city on a hill. That ensure that we retain our saltiness. That allow us to have the energy, the light to shine. So that when we receive this light from God and we shine it out, everyone will see that light and say, wow, that is God at work in this person's life. And I want that. And I want that. That is how we witness. That is how we let our light shine. To be honest, among the eldership, we really do not know what do we have to do to help people experience God. My portfolio as an elder, I mean we collectively oversee the church, but I spend most of my time with young people, with the children. And in fact, not just at this church, but outside, most of my ministry touches on young people. And the majority feedback that I hear talking to people are, you know, I know intellectually this God connect with me. He is real. He talked to me. But how come I can't experience God? How come I don't feel Him talking to me? What is wrong with me? And in fact, a lot of them struggle with that. And I feel for them because, I mean, I can speak from my own experience. They can hear how I experience God. But until they personally experience the love of Christ, no words of mine can convince them. So while this theme that God gave us for this year is great, we really struggle with how do we do that. So today's sermon, I titled it Face to Face with God. You know, this morning when I had breakfast with my children, I have four young boys. One of the younger ones told me, Daddy, that's wrong. You know, no one can see God face to face. If you see God face to face, you die. So I said, yeah, that's what the Lord told Moses. It's true. But then, you know, today we sing a lot of songs, you know, I want to see God's face. I want to that. So I think when I pick this word face to face with God, is my desire, and it should be everyone's desire, to see God face to face. That's our desire. Whether God allow us to see Him, that's beside the point. But it's my desire. In fact, that is what Moses desired, to see God. So, it's too small, right? Is it? Can see? Do you want to turn down the lights? Maybe at the front? Is that better? Okay, next time I'll halve that. I know I got feedback that my slides are too small. Okay, today I'm going to use Moses example to talk about someone that really lived an experiential life of experiencing God as he lived, as he walked on earth. So, the first passage, you can read on your own back home, but Moses first have a really magnificent encounter with God. The first time he did was this burning bush. Isn't that our desire oftentimes? We want to see this something magnificent, like something that without a doubt is God. Moses saw that. This burning bush that keep on burning, but it doesn't burn down. It just keep on burning. It's just giving out fire, but nothing burns. That is his first encounter with God. And let me see. Hang on. Let me read. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn out. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn out. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush. I want to emphasize this word, God called Moses. God called each and every one of us first. He called. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, what? Here I am. So when God called, Moses responded, here I am. And then God says, do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of Egyptians and to bring them out of the land, into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, I think. I cannot pronounce it. And now the cry of the Israelite has reached me, and I have seen the way of Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people Israel out of Egypt. And we all know in Sunday school lessons that you've taken that Moses complained. He said, please send someone else. But ultimately he went. He obeyed and he go. That was his first encounter. And then the next major encounter that he had is this, which I got the title of my sermon from. This is a passage where Moses went through a really tough time. The people that God asked him to lead, God called stiff neck. God was going to wipe them all out and then birth out a new nation under Moses. You know, this is so it's the golden calf incident, right? After that, Moses went to God and he asked God to see God's glory. He said this. Let's read. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. Then Moses says to him, If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us?" So this, I just want to pause there for a second. Let me read the next one. "What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth?" I want to remind us, it's linked back to this thing. The one thing that differentiates the City on the Hill people and the rest is the connectedness of us with our Father in heaven. It's the connectedness of us with Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit in us that differentiates us from the others. Without that in us, how would anyone distinguish us? Without us experiencing God day to day, every day, experiencing His presence, not 5 years ago I have an encounter with God, but every day experiencing His presence, that distinguishes us from the other people. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name.'" And you know what? God knows each one of us by our name. The Lord Jesus has written our name in this book of life. We are there. We are His people. And nothing can change that fact. You know, then Moses was not very satisfied. He's like getting bold. Then Moses said, "Now, show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." So my son is right. No one can see my face and live. Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Now, you know, I read this. So this is the second major encounter that Moses had with Christ. With God. The first one was burning bush. This is the second time. I read this passage many times, but you know, something dawned on me. God actually says, equate His glory to three things. His face, right? Because He says, "You cannot see my face, if not you die." But more than that, He also equate His glory to, if you look at verse 19, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you." So God's glory is also, it's all His goodness. And then, what else? His name, right? "And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." So God equates His goodness, His name, to His glory. The only thing that we don't see, that we are not allowed to see now, is His face. But I believe nothing wrong with desiring to see Him face to face. That's our desire. I really want to see God face to face. And I believe that one day will come, either He return before I die, or when I die, I will see Him face to face. I believe that. So it's my desire to see God face to face. Now, if you remember, Moses have this two major encounter, and I take the last encounter, you know, that Moses have major encounter is when the Lord actually took him out to the mountain and said, "Look, you can see the promised land, but you cannot go in. But I'll let you see it." That is the third major encounter. But I want to remind all of us, these are the major encounters, but what about the in-between time? What did Moses do in between? He has the tent meeting. He goes to the tent to meet with God, right? They set up the tent outside, and he would go there, and the presence of God will be there. And that's when he meet with God, in between this major encounter. So may I suggest to all of us, while it's good to, and we will definitely not forget those major encounters that we have with God, but how often do we neglect the 10 meetings with God? How often do we go to God and just talk to Him, be in His presence? Moses was able to lead all this stiff-necked person for how many years? 40 years in the desert. Horrible situation. People want to kill him. People blame him. God called these people stiff-necked. He was able to do that without burning out like many leaders do, because he has the 10 meetings. And at major moment where God knows that he needs a major encounter because he was so down, God gave him a major encounter. He gave him the burning bush. He gave him the showing his glory. He showed him the mountaintop view of the promised land. So as we walk through, and I think these are talking about someone else, but we each have that same process. We each have an encounter with God when we've first been called. And we realize, we responded to God and said, "Here I am. I am your child." That is like the burning bush. Then some of us has experienced some other major encounter as we walk in our Christian faith. But in between those major encounters, we need the 10 meetings with God. We need to meet with Him continuously. That's what differentiates us from the others. That's what make us City on the Hill as compared to the others. And I'm going to leave it up to the other elders to share with you. I hope so. I don't know. I don't know what if they prepared these in their coming sermon. I get to go first, so I can say whatever I say, they clean up after me, whatever I said wrong. So I believe they will share to us how we can have these 10 meetings with our Lord. I can toss out a few examples. Prayer is one. Prayer time, doing our quiet time with God, going to a silent retreat that we promote here at Ferris Park. Set aside a day to do that and just wait on the Lord. Reading God's Word. These are all 10 meetings, I would call, with God. And we should do that. Now, I told you that today I'm going to do something different. And I need your full participation. I'm done with my sermon, actually. But we have a lot of time left. I want to do this. I want to go through this exercise and let God's Word minister to us. God's Word. I would like God to speak to us individually, reminding us of His goodness today. So for the next however long, I'm going to go through, we're going to do a reflection. Okay, the first one. Okay, let me skip this. I can see this a bit. Sorry, I got carried away. I forgot about this slide. Okay. But this is what we're going to do. Reflection number one. And as I would like us to all close our eyes as I read through the Word of God. So reflection number one, I want us to do this. This is one thing that I want you to think about. When God first found you, when was your burning bush encounter? Okay, let me read God's word, and as you close your eyes, allow God's word to minister to you. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 14. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, and also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your willingness and for your absolute obedience to your Father's will. That you are willing to go to the cross, take on every sin of ours and nail it to your body. Lord, why would someone do that for me? Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you, while being God, totally holy, hated sin, but are as willing to wear on my sin and to be nailed on that cross, dying the most gruesome death. Lord, I don't know about how the rest here, but for me, as I was still walking in the wilderness, not knowing my direction, you call me. You gave me the faith to believe the gospel. You gave me the courage to raise up my hand in this service and say, yes, I will follow you. Here I am. You have called me and I will follow you. Lord, thank you for your goodness to me. And Lord, I'm sure every one of us out here would have a similar testimony about your goodness for us. Lord, today we want it to be remembered. We want to remember this time of your goodness. And we want to share this goodness of yours to whoever that's willing to listen. Because as we share your goodness to us, people will hear and be able to recognize your glory. And they will give you praise and honor that you deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for also sending your Spirit, dwelling our heart so that we have the mark of yours. No one, nothing in creation can take that away. Take us away from you. Take away the Spirit in us. Lord, thank you for that assurance. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if I can ask you, if you really were reminded of this goodness of Christ, please share with someone next to you. I already told you, I need your participation today. The reason I want us to do that, just for a few minutes, share. Tell your neighbors how good has God been to you. Because as we tell, what we are doing is we are actually honoring Him, giving God the glory He deserves. When we tell the neighbor, say, this is who I am before, and for some reason, like for my case, I was this person blindly chasing after the things of this world. And very blur, I walked and I raised my hand in this service and I was called a child of God since then. It's that simple. And since then, my world turned upside down and I've become a new creation. It's just that. Tell that to, and that's all the work of God. It's not me. I was not even ready. I have nothing, no reason to go to God. But He just did it. So please, tell someone your own story of God. Okay, you have 1 minute to finish up. Okay, if you don't have a chance to finish your whole story, please continue to do so later when we go to the porch area. Please, not just tell your neighbors now. Continue to tell this story to anyone that's willing to listen to you. Anyone that, your co-workers, your friends from school, anyone that's willing to listen. When you tell them about this goodness of God to you, you are being a witness. You are shining the light. Because when you tell, you can only tell because you have received this goodness. You can only shine this light because you have received this light from Christ. So when you go tell someone, you are a city on a hill. Cannot be hidden. Remember, God say we are not a little hut in the melon field. We are a city on a hill. So go tell. Go tell anyone that's willing to listen to you. Second reflection. I want us to think back on one time when God spoke most clearly to you about something he wants you to do. Now that can be calling to a ministry. That can be sometimes even calling to go to some different country. That can be a question about a particular sin that you are struggling with for the longest time. It can be all those. So anything that when God spoke most clearly to you that he wanted you to do, I want you to think back to that time, okay? So the passage I'm going to read is from Isaiah 6. Now you can close your eyes again. And please think of this question. When was the last time God spoke to me clearly about something that I needed to do? And what was my response? It may be now. Maybe today. So let's close our eyes. Let's go to him in full expectation of hearing from him. And I'm just going to read this passage from Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of his seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me. Send me." Lord, thank you for making me right before you. Thank you for willing to accept me while I'm a filthy rag. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me to be in your family, calling me to be the city on the hill, sending me to tell of your glory. Oh Lord, thank you for speaking to me so clearly that without a doubt, I know it's you. Without a doubt, I know I have to respond. Here I am. Send me. Lord, I don't know what you have spoken to your people here individually, but I know that that's a call of great responsibility, a call to represent you, the Holy One, to the people of unclean lips, that we were once unclean, but you have made us clean, pure, without blemish. You have made us righteous because of Jesus Christ, because you gave us the ability to believe. In fact, in such a non-logical truth, but that's your way, and you allow us to believe that we don't have to do anything except to simply believe you, trust your way, and say, Lord Jesus, I am sinful and I can't help myself, and you have saved me, you have made me clean because of you, and because of that I'm willing to go, I'm willing to do whatever it takes for your name. I'm willing to serve you wherever you call me to, wherever you lead me to. I will keep my eyes open so that I know your will. And I know where to go. Lord, some of us have obeyed and said go. But some of us here may not have done so. Lord, I ask you to give them courage today, even right now, to say, here I am, Lord, send me. I will go. I will go for you. I will do whatever you want me to do so that because you have done great things for me, I was unclean once, but now I am clean. So I will go. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Lord, give me courage. Help confirm clearly your calling for me so that without a doubt, I'm answering to your call. In Jesus' name I pray for each and every one of us here. Amen. Now, are you willing to share with someone next to you either just now or a while back where God spoke so clearly to you and you have answered the call, I go, I will go, I will do it. Share that with your neighbor. The reason we do that is when we share, we actually testify to the goodness of God because of what He's willing to do for us, causes us to be willing to obey. When we share that with our neighbors, when we tell someone that, it brings glory to our God, because we ourselves have no ability, no strength to answer to the calling that He called us to be. So please take a moment to share. You have 2 minutes. Okay, this is the last one. The third reflection is on, I want us to be reminded of that one, that there may be many times, but at least one, that one time when God came to your rescue. You were in a difficult situation, either caused by yourself, self-inflicted, or because of others. But God came to your rescue. Okay, let's close our eyes. And I'll read from Psalm 16. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. And I have been safe from my enemies. The cord of death entangle me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of the grave coil around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I call to the Lord. I cry to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He saw on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, cloud advanced. With hailstones and bolts of lightning, the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundation of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Lord, you are our resting place. In our times of troubles, fear, uncertainty, distress, pressure, when life seems not worth living, we cry out to you. We run after you. And when we do so, your word tells us that you will hear us in heaven, that you will hear us in your temple, and that you will come down and pluck us out of this suffering, this danger. And that you bring us into this wonderful place that we feel free. Freedom to live. You give us joy to live. You give us satisfaction that only you can give. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are a God that's a personal one. You are a God that cater to the very need of our hearts, of our emotion, of our soul. You know exactly what we needed, and you come and give that to us, like any good father would do for their children. But no good father is as good as you. You are our Heavenly Father, and you delight in giving us good things. You delight in us going to you, and you delight in giving us yourself. You delight in giving us rest in you. Lord, thank you for saving me time after time. When I wander away from you, you pull me back. When I bend down desperate wanting to hear you, like so many young people nowadays, they want to hear you. They want to experience you. Lord, I ask you to show yourself to them. Lord, I ask you to give them this experience of your goodness, that they will know that you are true and living God, and that you love them, and that you delight in speaking to them, and you delight in them knowing you. Father, I pray for every young person here that they will find you. When you knock, they will open their doors, open their heart, and welcome you in. And when it seems difficult, that they will not give up. They will continue to seek you. And when they seek you earnestly and with all their strength and all their might and with everything, you will answer them. You will come from heaven and rescue them out of their situation. Lord, I thank you for doing that for me over and over again. And I believe that you do that for everyone here over and over again, that you will show up and rescue us. Lord, I want to thank you for doing that for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So please, I won't ask you to share now because time is running out. But please, as we leave and we go and enjoy our refreshment, tell someone about what God has done for you. Give him the glory that he deserves. So, Usher, can we come in? I want us to now remember our Lord and Savior by partaking in the Lord's Supper. Remembering what he has done for us. Anyone that believes and accepted Christ, you can be a visitor today. If you are a follower of Christ, you have been baptized, you are welcome to partake the Lord's Supper with us. Oh, sorry, I'm not used to doing this. need more? I think maybe someone else need to go up. There's quite a lot up there. Sorry, we have a lot of people up on the stage. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake in the bread. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's partake in it. Lord, we cannot say enough thank you. To thank you for what you have done for us. We want to remember you for your goodness and your mercy to each one of us. Lord, I pray that we will continue to do so until you return, until you come back to reign and to be seated on your rightful place, where all knees shall bow and call you Lord, King over all. Lord, we thank you that you gave us this privilege to be your city on the hill, that we can shine your light so that the world may see and give glory to you. Lord, we also want to thank you for giving us the Spirit so we can remain salty. And we will not lose our saltiness. So that because of your presence, we are different from the rest. Because of your presence in our life, we can be your city on the hill. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will continue to celebrate and remember those major encounters in our life with you. But also not neglect our tent meeting in between those major encounters. Lord, I pray that each one of us will seek you in our personal time and know that you are with us. Lord, I thank you for this privilege of sharing your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be dismissed.